It was towards the second half of last year we started a study on the Holy Spirit. if brothers can give me the privilege to share the video, then I can show you what go through the slides here. But we did stop sometimes in November because then I was traveling and didn't get time to finish it up. So today we will start somewhere where we stopped, and maybe a little bit review before we continue. let's see if I can have the privilege to share it. Okay, good. So we will look back a little bit, and then we'll continue next day, next week, and in 3 weeks. Hopefully, we can finish the study on this subject. Our brother earlier read from the book of Genesis. At the very beginning itself, we see the Holy Spirit is in action. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters we see. So his work is nothing is new. He was available and working throughout all generations, different ages. Even before creation, the Holy Spirit was in action. So as a review, we did look at the following major themes about the Holy Spirit. We will not go back and study and review all of that, but to highlight deity of the Holy Spirit. We looked at that very extensively from the verses throughout. And we established from the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is God. It is not one of the three gods, he is God. And that was very well looked at from the scriptures. Then we also looked at the personality of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is a person, just like anybody else. He is not just a power, he is not just wind or water or whatever that people sometimes misunderstand. The Spirit of God is a person. He does everything a person does. We looked at that very detailed before we closed last time. Then there are some similes of the Holy Spirit. And then there are also symbols we looked at. I mean, when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, we saw the Spirit of God came down upon him like a dove. I remember talking about that. If you see a dove on the field, that is not Holy Spirit. It's only a symbol or a simile or something that people were able to see. Sometimes there are water is referred to as the Holy Spirit, the rushing of the water. There are many other similes and symbols that we can see in the scriptures, but that itself is not the Holy Spirit. It is only a remembrance of the Holy Spirit. This morning we had the Lord's Supper. We had the bread and the cup. And the bread was not the body of Christ sitting in the plate. And the cup, it is not the blood of Christ. It is only a symbol that the Lord Spirit of God gave it to us. That brings memory towards who he is. Now, having said that foundational theological truth about him, we look at the work. What did the Holy Spirit do throughout ages? In the Old Testament time, currently at the New Testament time, right after the rapture, which is the great tribulation time, and then thereafter the millennium and into the eternity. What does the Spirit of God does? We will look at some of those areas very detailed. Some of them we will probably go a little faster. Before creation, the Spirit of God was in action. As we read this morning, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Before creation, the Spirit of God was working. Then there is the Old Testament time that we all know that even during our Lord's earthly ministry, the Spirit came upon certain individuals for the accomplishment of some specific purpose. And then he withdrew after accomplishing the purpose for which he came. In other words, in the Old Testament time, the Spirit of God came upon a person to accomplish one purpose. That purpose is complete, then he goes back. He comes again on other people. He returns various scenes and occasions and people. So the presence of the Holy Spirit during the Old Testament was not as permanent as you and I enjoy today. We will come to that as we go on. So one thing to remember, the Spirit of God did come upon various people. And with one purpose, and that is complete, and he returns back. Then, not only that, the Spirit of God came on various men. Here we read in Exodus chapter 31, 33 and 35, 31, Bezalel for the work of tabernacle. Spirit came on a person by name. So he has been given the task of building the tabernacle, and the Spirit of God was involved in that with him. Very great truth. The Spirit of God is building a tabernacle now here on this earth, not a physical building, but a tabernacle is being built. In other words, the church is being built. But who is in charge? It is the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God, even today, so I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. So God was in control through the help of the Holy Spirit when the tabernacle was built. So man will not make any mistake, but everything this man needed was given to him by wisdom, knowledge, and all kinds of workmanship. And then we read Othniel, one of the judges, in the chapter 3, verse 10. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he judged Israel. When a people of God need to be judged righteously, you can do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. Here we read that the Spirit of God came upon this particular judge and he judged the people of Israel. We may be a little moving fast here, but just to give you an idea that the Spirit of God came on different people, different times, including some rulers and judges for very various purposes. Then we read about Samson in Judges chapter 13. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanaim, then between Zorah and the Eshtaol. It all has definite meanings when he came, why he came, and even the location is mentioned here, the place is mentioned, it all has specific meanings. But here for our purpose at this moment, we see that the Holy Spirit came upon Samson, that he will be a righteous judge for the people. We also notice that sometimes the Spirit came upon unregenerate men to accomplish the plan of God. Not necessarily God's people, or in our language we can say believers. The Spirit of God came on unbelievers, Balaam. And Balaam was raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him in Numbers 24 and verse 2. And then we read King Saul. King Saul was a very unrighteous king. Not someone we can count as a believer in the sense, if you want to use that word. But 1 Samuel 11, 6 says, then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused when Nahash the Ammonite came against Israel. So we see that not only on ordinary people, not only on judges, not only on prophets, even on kings, and some cases, unregenerate people, the Spirit of God came and accomplished what he needed to accomplish at that particular time for his people. And when we come to the New Testament, we see another example, the wicked high priest Caiaphas. In John chapter 11, 49 to 52, we read like this, and one of them, Caiaphas, being a high priest that year, said to them, you know Nothing at all. Nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. How did he get that? And although the word Holy Spirit is not used in here, it clearly says he did not say it to his own authority. He said it of the authority of the Holy Spirit, that one man should die for the nation. So we can see in the history, Old Testament time, Spirit of God came, certain people, all kinds of people as we saw, he accomplished what he needed to accomplish and then he returns back to heaven. And in New Testament time, even at this time, when the Lord was on this earth, we see the Spirit of God came to Caiaphas and he prophesied that Christ is to die for the whole nation. Now, when we come to the New Testament, at the church age, the scene actually changes. So far, he has been accomplishing before creation, after creation, Old Testament time, same Israel time, all that is up to that point. Acts chapter 2, we read very clearly, we'll probably come to that in a minute. He came to stay. John 14, 16 to 17, we read, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who asked his Father to send the Holy Spirit, not to come and go anymore, but he comes and stay with you forever. It says, abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Today, the day that you became a believer, the moment that you became, put your trust in Christ, the Spirit of God came into your heart, abiding within you, how long? Forever. It is good to know that, but it is also a little fearful thought. As you are looking at me and I am standing here and speaking to you, the Spirit of God is indwelling in our hearts. When you get out of this home, get into your car, in this building, and get into your car and go home, you go to sleep, the Spirit of God is still there. What you are thinking, what you are doing, what you are planning for tomorrow, all things are visible to the Holy Spirit. That's why I said it is a fearful thought also. Sometimes among the assembly folks, generally speaking, not all, we take the work of the Holy Spirit so lightly, we ignore the work of the Holy Spirit. We even don't even think about the Holy Spirit, just because there are some people who teach wrong and, you know, interpret wrong, we go to the other extreme and totally forget about the Holy Spirit. This is a very big danger. His ministry today in this world, when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed to the Father to send his Holy Spirit, he came with a threefold ministry. We probably will have enough time to look at that this morning. Threefold ministry. One is towards Christ himself. The primary goal of the Holy Spirit presence here on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he will testify of me. The testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is the work of the Holy Spirit. He will testify. He will use people. He will use you and you and me and people all over the globe. He uses them to testify about Christ. When people, the so-called holiness people, they take the Holy Spirit in such a way, they exalt themselves and speak about themselves, that is not the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to exalt and speak about Christ. John 15, 16, 26 says, But when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. If you want to know what we do and say is from the Holy Spirit, you have to evaluate, is it glorifying Christ? Is it testifying about the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it testifying and glorifying myself? So the biggest and the primary work of the Holy Spirit today is to exalt and testify about Christ himself. He will glorify me, again in 16:14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit of God's work today, when he brings the word of God to you, he is taking from Christ and just pass it on to you. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about the Lord's Supper. He said, I have received of the Lord and I give it to you. Paul was just a person in the intermediate person to pass it on to you. The Spirit of God is today, whatever he does in your life, he's taking it from Christ and then give it to you. He is not here to glorify himself. He is not here to glorify himself. He is here to glorify Christ. God the Son came to represent the Father and to glorify him. The Lord Jesus said, I came here to glorify my Father. God the Holy Spirit is here today to represent the Son and glorify him. Of course, it is, I'm not, we are, we, all of us know that we are not talking about three gods here. We are talking about the triune God, all three but one, three but one. So that is the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit today during this age. But towards the church, what is he doing in the church? When I say church, we are not talking about Edmunds Lane or we are talking about any other assembly. We are talking about the Church of God, the universal church, who where all believers are a member for the last 2,000 plus years. Every child of God is part of that church. So Spirit of God has a ministry in that church. Indirectly, it will also a ministry to a local church like ours here or any other church. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, baptism of the Holy Spirit is a subject that is debated by many people all around the globe. Paul says here clearly, we are baptized into one body. You and I will not be baptized into the Holy Spirit individually, then there is numerous bodies. We are part of that one body of Christ that was baptized into his body. The day I put my trust in him, I became part of that body. Thereby, I am also baptized into the Holy Spirit. If somebody asks you, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Your answer should be, praise the Lord, yes, I am. That was, for me, it was December 11, 1960, on a Sunday morning at 9:30 at Sunday school class. I put my trust that I was baptized by the Holy Spirit, added to the church at the same day. Not when I was baptized. Don't misunderstand me. Unfortunately, young people are not here. That doesn't change your position in Christ, whether you are baptized or not. But if the Christ come before you were baptized, you will be unbaptized believer throughout the eternity. That is just my thought. So you are not becoming body or part of the body when you are baptized. You will be baptized and added to a local church. All have been made to drink one Spirit. When? The day that we put our trust. Ephesians 2, 18 and 22, we have access to the Father and are built as a holy temple, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Well, we can enter into the very presence of God in the name of Christ, but the Spirit of God is the one who gives us the ability and the process to enter into the holiest of holies. And he is there with us because he indwells in our life. Now, I'm going to step out for one moment on this this area here. We are entering into the presence of God without any fear, with no difference, Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We all are enter. We all have the ability to enter into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the access into the presence. When we go to the access of the presence of God, when we pray to God, this is what I was going to step out for a second. I'll come back to the subject. If you are listening to me, pay very close attention. When Jesus came into this world, his name was called Jesus. But he is not just Jesus anymore. Acts says that God the Father has raised him up and exalted him to be the Lord Jesus Christ. We better address him like that, brothers. By practice, we may be saying, oh, in my Jesus' name. I don't think the Lord is going to come behind you with a gun for saying that. But there are things that you can do right, things that you can do better, or things you can do the best. You don't want to be at the low level, right? You want to be at the very best. Call him the Lord Jesus Christ. What, that's what he is today. His acts made it very clear. Yes, he was Jesus one time, but now his name changed. I sometimes quote this example. My time is running. Let me. Biden, was Biden 5 years ago, or maybe 3 years ago. Now today he is President Biden. You like him or not, he is president. You better accept that and call him President Biden. I will not go to him and say, hey, Biden. No, we will not. We will call him President Biden. The Lord has accepted, exalted Christ and made him the Lord Jesus Christ. We better acknowledge that and call him what he is. Now, we through him, we have the access by the help of the Holy Spirit into the very presence of God. Now, this is, so far we are talking about the universal church. We are baptized into one body. We have the access into the very presence of God. Now, within a local body of believers like ours or all churches who are gathered in his name, within each, then there is each individual believers. We look at it, this part more in more detail. That is one of the area that I want to spend a little more time. The body, local body of Christ, even today, is under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who building it. He is the one who bringing us together. He is the one who gives us the word of God to put our feet down and be strong and fundamentally correct according to the scriptures. The Spirit of God does that in every local church. Of course, we can ignore that, which we are all good at it. I am sure, I should say I am good at it. You know, ignoring the Spirit of God when he leads us. So each individual believer, the Spirit of God works. What does he do? In John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, he come, he will guide you into all truth. If you want to know the truth, don't come to me, don't go to Alexa. Of course, he can help you. But the Spirit of God is the one who guides you into all truth. People who err and turn away from the truth, the basic problem is because they are not listening to the Spirit of God. All truth, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority. What? Isn't he God? But the purpose of the presence of the Holy Spirit is not to exalt him, about talk about him, but whatever he hears from God, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. If people who want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, go to the Lord and help, seek the help of the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures will make it very clear to each. And also an indirect reference to the book of Revelation that has yet to come, when he says he will tell you things to come. At that time, the book of Revelation was not written. Therefore, I believe that is an indirect reference to the book of Revelation when he said he will tell you things to come. When he tells you about things to come, be satisfied what is revealed and don't go beyond that. God has kept a lot of things for himself. We were talking yesterday, and there are boundaries God has kept. He revealed to us certain truth. Don't guesswork beyond that and you will make mistake. That is one of the problem with all people. Brother was referring about the thread earlier. You know, you can argue on that with the human wisdom. So that happens all over the globe about the future. This will happen, that will happen. Before that, this should happen. Leave it to the Lord. Be happy with what is revealed. And then go beyond that. Don't go beyond that. And the second thing he does in Ephesians 3:5 is, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. This book here, the New Testament today, is also a reference that the Holy Spirit will complete the book. He came, he completed the book through his apostles and prophets, or those who wrote the book. That is given to us, it is by the Holy Spirit. It is not Peter and John who wrote it. It is the Spirit of God who gave them words to write. So he revealed the mystery of Christ. When we read through, we come across the word mystery many times. Mystery simply means it is nobody knows. That's not what it means. It simply means in the past it was not made known or clear. Today it has been made clear by the apostles and prophets to the extent that we need to know. I wish I knew everything about beyond that, but God did not reveal that to us. Now then, the third thing he does, Spirit builds the church, Ephesians 2:22, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is building the body of Christ. That is applicable both in the local as well as in the universal. He is building the church. It is not man who builds the church. When a man puts the name on a building or a church or a group of people, he takes the glory. And we know very many places. We'll say Johnson's church and Tom's church or whoever name that we come across. The church is built by the Holy Spirit for his glory, and no man should take glory in it. In whom you also are built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The church has three way he approaches. One is to the world. He is not simply working only to the church, but to the world. Convictor of sin to the world. His work today is to convict of sin of people. You and I can argue with people who are drunkards and murderers and try to convince them that they are sinners. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit who will convince them that they are sinners. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper or the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, three things. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, verse 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, judgment because of the ruler of this world. He has a ministry to this world today just to convince people of their sin. And we will, my time is up. Then he will talk about righteousness and judgment and regenerations and his ministry towards people of God. Lord willing, we will look at that. I meant to go much further, but maybe we'll look at it a lot next time. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning. Once again, we approach the throne of grace. We can't even think. The Lord Jesus will die for us, save us, and leave us alone here on this earth. But you have sent your Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to protect us, to comfort us, all that is necessary in our life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is indwelling in our hearts. Pray that this morning, just the reminder of this truth may be a blessing to all of us as we walk out of here, knowing that the Spirit of God is deeply inside our heart and watching and guiding and helping in our life. We give you thanks. Pray for the blessing upon the people of God. Remember many who are sick in many ways, others who are traveling, people of God, wherever they are at this time. We pray the blessing upon them. We give you thanks. Thank you for hearing your prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus.